everyone. Welcome to Just Getting By, episode 32, for Wednesday, the 19th of October, 2011. I am Craig Jones, and I'm joined, as always, by Chemslave. Hello, Chemslave.
Howdy, Craig.
How are you doing?
It's Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. I hate Wednesdays.
Yeah, it's the hump day, and not the good kind of hump day, the bad kind of hump day.
Yep.
Okay, let's get started, okay?
That sounds like a plan.
You're so deadpan. My God. All right. So, Chemslave, this next story really annoys me.
What happened now?
Chemslave, do you know about the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, I do. What is it?
It is a very tall statue of King looking out into the distance. He's coming out of like a solid sheet of rock. His statue is like emerging from a flat piece of rock. It's impressive looking, but he's also got a kind of almost angry look on his face. The statue itself is controversial because it was made in China.
And it's what?
Yeah, it was made in China.
Isn't that great? Can we not make anything in this country anymore?
Evidently not. Evidently not. And by the way, we were talking on Monday about specials to do around the holiday season. Manufacturing in America is third on the list now. That's a big story in and of itself. But anyway, I digress. Of all the things, Martin Luther King Jr.'s statue was made in China. Could you believe it? And then we have, around the base of the statue, there's like a pedestal that it sits on, and there are quotes attributed to King that are inscribed there. And some of those quotes are of dubious nature, dubious derivation. It's very possible that he did not originate several of those quotes. So that's controversy swirling around this from every angle. But last Sunday, today as we record, but a few days ago as of Wednesday, when you're hearing this, it was opened for the first time. Now, you could go and see it, and you could walk up to it. So it was open before now, but it wasn't officially recognized as being open. The ceremony to inaugurate its erection is, you know, was just this past Sunday. And civil rights leaders, quote-unquote, from all over America and the world were there, as well as politicians, including the President and First Lady. I have never seen a more shameful ceremony in my life. I was absolutely astounded. The whole thing about Martin Luther King Jr. was that he stood for unity. He stood for equality. He stood for hope for a better future for this country. And yet the people that spoke at his dedication, the dedication of his memorial, don't give a crap about equality. Don't give a crap about progress in terms of race. All they care about is furthering their own political agenda.
So what did they do, Craig?
Oh, my God. You're going to have to talk me down from this one because this really, really gets me going. I have a few quotes. Obama, for instance, he said, quote, "Let us not be trapped by what is. We can't be discouraged by what is. We've got to keep pushing for what ought to be." By itself, it doesn't sound too bad. But he said, quote, are you tapping something? I'm hearing a
that
tapping.
Is the drummers at the football game.
Oh my God!
Thump, thump, thump.
Oh my God! All right. So, this is also, this is, what I just said, Obama said. Let us not be trapped by what is. We can't be discouraged by what is. We've got to keep pushing for what ought to be. Doesn't sound that bad, but it is bad when you think about what the context of this memorial was. Because listen to King's daughter. As we dedicate this this monument, I can hear my father saying that oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. The yearning for freedom eventually manifests itself. I hear my father saying what we are seeing now all across the streets of America and the world is a freedom explosion. She called for a radical revolution of values and a reordering of priorities in this nation.
Wow, that sort of sounds like she's for the protests up in New York and everywhere else, occupying Wall Street, marches for freedom and whatnot.
That's right. Various people made reference to this. For instance, Dan Rather, that blithering idiot, the former anchor of CBS Evening News, equated racial injustice of the 1960s to supposed economic injustice of the 2000s. He said, quote, "This time we judge people not on the content of their character, but the color of their money. Once again, we have Americans on the outside looking in. There is a heavy lifting to be done again. And in the spirit of Dr. King's lasting legacy, we need to start now." Let me ask you a question. What the hell does the color of their money mean?
Truthfully, I have no bloody idea.
Because I've seen some very rich people with the same color money as some very poor people. It's just how much of it do they have? And how much of it is wrapped up in real estate and other non-liquid assets?
Well, no, the euros are colorful. Euro money, European money, like the euro is colorful.
Yeah, but that comment makes no sense for America. He's an idiot, for one thing. But let's.
You know what I'm. What if it's blood money? The color of their money is covered in blood.
You know,
the blood of all the oppressed people.
You know, you might have something. He might actually think that the money of the rich is tinged with the red stain of the people whose lives were taken in the process of earning that income. What a bunch of bullshit. Now, let's analyze what he said, because he's just right out there. He's not holding anything back. Listen to this again. "This time we judge people not on the content of their character, but the color of their money. Once again, we have Americans on the outside looking in. There is heavy lifting to be done again, and in the spirit of Dr. King's lasting legacy, we need to start now." Doesn't that sound like a call for revolution?
Well, Dan Rather is revolutionary. I thought you knew that already.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the people that listened to him for like 15 years on the NBC Evening News would be surprised to know that. But yes, the man's an idiot, for one thing. And he also thinks he's still a hippie in the 1960s. I mean, the man's just he's an embarrassment. But this was a common theme throughout. I'm astounded that there has been so little progress in this nation since the time that he was killed to today. That people are still willing to use divisive language, divisive politics, to try and tell people, look at them, look at what they have, you should have that. Let's fight to get that back. That is speech that is best seen in Cuba, in Russia of 20 years ago. Not in America. This is anti-American. This is anti-democracy. These people have perverted the ideas and the life of Dr. King, and they use the fact that he is no longer alive to go out on their own and push for an agenda which he could only have dreamed of. No pun intended. By the way, I really did not plan that. You know, this is another example of a story that I encourage you all to read. It's from CNN. And the idiot who wrote, they don't even say who wrote this. They just say CNN wire staff. The person who, or persons who wrote this story obviously have absolutely no clue. Because this is the title of the headline. Americans urged to live MLK's ideals at memorial dedication. But the whole content of this article is about how bad America is and how unjust the current economic condition is, and people need to rise up and change it. I mean, the headline is totally in contradiction to what is in the article. It's disturbing. It is disgusting. People need to wake up and see that we really do have revolutionaries in our midst. We have people that want to fundamentally change the way America operates. They want people so indentured, so subsumed by the federal government, that they no longer have the ability or the capacity, the want, the will, to go out and get rich themselves. They think it's impossible. So better not to try. Better to live off the teat of the federal government. That's what these people want. Because if the American people really wake up and see that America rewards talent and hard work, determination, that you have the ability to get rich on your own, and that these people who are already rich have done so because they have been wise with their investments and been talented in their area of expertise, the Democrat Party, the liberal wing of the Democrat Party, the liberals, the communists, the socialists, the very liberals in this country would be decimated. They would be unable to exist. They don't want racial equality. They don't want economic equality. They want to keep pointing to inequality and try to politicize it for their own benefits. This was like a Democrat convention. This was like a campaign rally for a union, you know, organization. This was like an Obama campaign speech. It was disgusting. What do you have to say about this?
Really, I really don't know. Truly, it's slightly disgusting that they will sort of use a dedication to such a guy, like such a person, to sort of further their own agenda. It's like, truthfully, I have a bad. I don't have the greatest job in the world. It's not. It's not good. It's not bad. It's what I have. And I want to go better and get better in life. But right now I can't go higher, so I'm just doing what I can. And then maybe at some later point I can advance to the next position above one I'm at now. And maybe if I feel like it, I could try to go into the managerial position several years later after that. I don't complain that I'm at the place where I am. But I want to do better. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to try and do better. Instead of asking someone, hey, I want more. Give me more. I'm going to try with my own hands to get more. That is what someone like Dr. King, or was it not doctor? Was he a doctor or minister?
He had a doctorate. Yes, a Dr. King.
He didn't go out and say, "Hey, give me." He went and fought for what he wanted. Just like this, I want to be better in my life, so I'm gonna do what I can to get better instead of waiting for a government handout. Good. And to sort of call for this revolution to sort of like the whole Occupy Wall Street type of pandering to the public, to the poor. Sorry, hey, we're on your side. We want to fight for you and give you what you deserve, quote unquote.
No, absolutely. Absolutely right. Yeah. You have what I think is the appropriate sensibilities, and you know how to succeed in life, I think, and you're going to be fine. I wish other people could have that same insight. I really do. It would be important. Okay, so do you have anything else?
Yep.
Well, then, I guess, I'm steamed. So we're going to go to your story now, which is going to make me a lot happier, isn't it?
Yep. Much happier.
What's it going to be?
Okay, this is from the Boston Herald. Some place called Somerville. There's a school and a principal. And she doesn't like Halloween, Columbus Day, maybe even Thanksgiving. It's like, she blasted Christopher Columbus for atrocities. And she said that we need to be careful about celebrating Thanksgiving because they are bad. She also, ordered that kids not dress up for Halloween.
Okay.
This is really just disgusting.
Okay. So, we really do need to do an education special because we seem to be coming back to this again and again and again.
Yes.
This is historically something that started in the early 90s. In public school systems, earlier, if you talk about some of the more liberal communities in the nation, but basically this became widespread in the early 90s. This idea of self-vilification, of being ashamed of being of European ancestry, and this idea that to be fair and to be progressive and to be enlightened, you have to go against the history of the majority of the people in this country, ignore the fact that over 90% of the people in this country celebrate Christmas, ignore the fact that most of the people in this country would not be here. As a matter of fact, the vast, 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 vast majority of people in this country wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Christopher Columbus. They had to ignore all that and focus instead on how Europeans killed Native Americans and how there were other religions aside from Christianity in the world, and that we can't focus on Christianity. No, 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 no. We have to talk about Ramadan or Hanukkah or God knows what the hell people who celebrate Kwanzaa, a made-up religion, by the way.
It's not a religion. It's just a holiday, I think.
I'm sorry, holiday. Yes, holiday. I'm a little bit steamed, so I'm not as artful in my speaking.
Craig, she has friends who are Native American.
Does she?
And she has friends from the islands in the Caribbean.
Oh, really?
And she's heard their perspective on different things we say and do.
How enlightened.
Their versions of history.
I'm very happy she has those friends. You know,
We need to think about their feelings, Greg.
Yes, we do. Chemslave, do you know the history of European settlement in the Americas?
Bits and pieces that have been cobbled together over the years.
All right. Well, I'm a history major, and I specialize in American history. And as an aspect of that, I happen to be well-versed in the history of the settlement of America. And by America, I use it in the largest sense possible, and I mean North and South America, the Americas. And the fact of the matter is, she's right. Christopher Columbus was a terrible person, both to his own people and to Native Americans. His crew on the Santa Maria almost mutinied against him for various reasons. He was a very, very severe ship's captain. And his crew didn't think he could find the Indian passage, the quick way to the East Indies.
They were right.
They were right. But they thought that he was going to lead them to their doom. Now, they did not think that the world was flat. That's not true. They knew the world was round. That had been proven centuries before them. Only the most most rural and backward of people, even at that time, thought the world was flat. So that's not the problem. The problem was they couldn't stand him as a person, and they thought they were all going to drown and starve and, you know, all that. So when they actually found land, it was considered to be miraculous. And when they found people, and people who did not conform to what Indians should look like. And when I say Indians, I mean literal Indians from the Indian subcontinent. So Columbus was always insistent, until the day he died, I might add, that he had really found the East Indies. And therefore, he named the indigenous people Indians, a name that has stuck until today. And, in fact, he ended up capturing several Indians, taking them back to Europe to show the various important people over there. And he ended up killing a lot of them through disease and violence. He had many hundreds, if not thousands, of native indigenous people's blood on his hands, personally, whether through orders issued or actions that he himself took. But that being said, the fact of the matter is that is old history. And when you look at history beyond 50 or 100 years, you need to start to look at it from a more dispassionate point of view. And when one society is faced against another society, and they are fighting for their very survival, one side typically gets destroyed. We see this again and again and again throughout history. You can go back into ancient history with various wars that ancient Egyptians fought against people around them. The Kushites below Egypt, Phoenicians to the northeast of them, they wiped them out. They themselves were almost wiped out several times by invaders. You have the Babylonians being absolutely subsumed. Then you have Carthage being absolutely destroyed by Rome, so much so that each brick was destroyed, and the lands that the Carthaginians had were sown with salt, so nothing could be grown.
The Third Punic War.
That's right. That's right. With Scipio Aemilianus, but that we don't need to get into that. And then you see that again and again and again. The Spanish Reconquista in Spain, pushing out the Muslims in the 14th century, that was total war. You have the Hundred Years' War in Europe, where you had a German army just going through the countryside, killing hundreds of thousands of people. Total war. Societies that go up against another society that is weaker will destroy that society. It's just a fact of life. And in modern times, we have tried to pretend that's not the case. And in fact, we have, I think, maybe progressed a little bit beyond there. But Europeans saw a continent that was ripe for the taking, and they saw an indigenous peoples that were not nearly as advanced as Europeans, and they saw an opportunity and they took it. Now, their actions were morally reprehensible, but they were not historically any different from what you would expect when you see a situation like this. The fact of the matter is that Andrew, well, I can say your name.
But yes, Kem, you can.
But Chemslave, the fact of the matter is that you and I are both European.
Yep.
And the majority of people that we interact with are European.
And according to some research that I dug up from last year, me and Christopher Columbus are come from the same land. Some 20 researchers, or some an international team of distinguished professors, have completed 20 years of painstaking research into Columbus's beginnings. And they found something pretty shocking. He's not a son of wool weavers. No, he's the son of a king. A king of in exile. The Polish king of Władysław III.
Okay. Chemslave?
Yes.
That is bullshit. Not true.
I have the article right in front of me.
I don't care. I don't care what you're looking at. They have those articles, you know, 20 times a year. They come out with articles like that. They're almost never right. Historians and genealogists and, you know, sociologists, anthropologists, they love to look at an issue and try to find a novel way of exploring it. They try to justify research grants. They try to justify not really being productive members of society. And this is just one example of that. Christopher Columbus, his origins are quite mysterious, actually. We have ideas, we have some good information, some dubious information. But the idea that he was the son of an exiled Polish king. Well, that would be cool for the Polish people, and I have no problem with that being true. That has no bearing in historical fact. None.
They are historians, so we're saying it. I'm just throwing it out there.
There are historians that also believe that the rapture is coming.
Yeah, they're crazies.
Yes. So, you know, well, we don't need to get too far into the weeds.
We were so slightly in the weeds already with a pretty long history lecture, but informative in this case.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, my point is, and I should have said this a lot quicker. I need to get better at editing myself. I seem to be going on a lot today. My point is that societies destroy other societies.
Yes.
What the hell was that?
That's my dad. I need to put up a sign saying, don't talk.
Do you need to go do something?
No.
Oh. Okay, then. Well, okay.
Let's get back to the issue at hand.
Yes. Okay.
I actually have a quote from that school's superintendent.
Okay, yeah. Well, before we get there, I just needed to say, yes, we did a lot of terrible things to indigenous native tribes in this country. We wiped out the vast majority of Native Americans through disease and warfare. No question. None. But unfortunately for them, and from a humanitarian point of view, that's not unusual. It was unusual in the number of people that got killed because of the geographic things. I don't want to get too far into this.
Yes, but this is history, Craig.
Yeah.
It's happened.
It has happened, and that's very much the point. Bad things happen in history. But you cannot get so much attached to the bad that you overlook the good. Because from this country, you had a haven for those people in Europe that were escaping religious persecution, that wanted to create a new life for themselves. This was the land of opportunity before the United States was the United States. And throughout our history, we've always been very kind to those people not in the majority. We've been very tolerant. We've been very accepting of various nationalities, various ethnicities, various ways of thinking, as opposed to other quote-unquote civilized nations. So, this has been a positive country in many respects. And the people who make up this country today are 95%, you know, something, either white or black, Hispanic. But almost all of them are Christians. Almost all of them speak English as their first or primary language. And they almost all of them believe in Christmas. They believe in Halloween. They believe in Thanksgiving. So yeah, Indians died. But that doesn't mean we cannot look to history, the history of this country, and celebrate the first successful harvest of the Pilgrims, for instance, or that we cannot celebrate Christmas. That is
I don't
not
think
what
this article is saying that they don't want to celebrate Christmas.
I guarantee you, if they don't want to celebrate Columbus Day, they won't be celebrating Christmas. That's just so much of a foregone conclusion that that doesn't even warrant mentioning in this article. Now,
this principal has very good intentions, Craig.
Okay, what are they?
She wants to be very, very sensitive to all of the many cultures.
Yeah, sensitive my ass.
She wants to open up a conversation.
Well, she has, because we're having a conversation, but she's an idiot. Because the conversation should be how to incorporate the history of these indigenous people into our education. Not how to completely push away and delete, forget about the history of our society, and focus on only how we destroyed another person's society. That war is all long in the past. We won, they lost. It sucks for them, but that's the case. And I could be a lot more sympathetic. I could be a lot more equivocal. I could be a lot more analytical about that. But when it comes right down to it, we won, they lost. The majority of people in this country are of some sort of European descent, or at least European influence. The fact is that our history is the history of Europe and the colonization of this great continent. And we did that on the backs of people that were not so lucky. That's true. And that should be incorporated into the discussion. But not at the expense of our traditions, not at the expense of our holidays, not at the expense of our society. This woman has no right to say what the students can and cannot celebrate or believe in. That woman has absolutely no right to ban anything. And, you know, I'm getting a little bit heated, so why don't you say something?
Yeah. You went off on a rant right there.
But at least it wasn't about something that happened 3,000 years ago. At least I was more in line with the topic at hand. Give me credit for that, at least.
Yes. Well, the mayor responded to Somerville.
By the way, this guy is an incredible douchebag, too, but go on.
Mayor Joseph A. Curtatone. Stupid name. Okay, he's like, I spoke with the columnist for 15 minutes, as did school superintendent Tony P. But she clearly was more interested in stirring the pot than having an adult discussion. She wrote a column accusing us of not wanting to celebrate any holidays in Somerville. And of course, that turned into regional and national radio and internet fodder, like you can see right now. Apparently, some people must take great offense at something new each day, and today we have become the designated punching bag. It's like, no, you took something small as sort of teaching both sides of history, the Western, like the European side, and what happened to like the natives here, and sort of say, yeah, well, this is a bad holiday. We're not going to celebrate this. We're this is a bad holiday. we should be conscious of our discussion on Thanksgiving as well. It's like the school principal totally took the whole topic out of proportion and sort of made it more negative than it should have been. In like the Halloween problem.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I can't find that quote you just read from the mayor. Because what I saw, the mayor
was... Go to page two.
Yeah, I'm, okay. Yeah,
and then there should be a mayor response, Somerville mayor response to Herald.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's a new story.
It's several paragraphs long.
Okay. Because the original story itself makes it sound like the mayor and the superintendent are firmly behind the principal, who is the woman that we've been maligning this whole conversation. Fairly so, I might add.
Truthfully, I think he's just sort of trying to cover his ass.
Yeah, I think so too, because this story got a lot of play, and it did not reflect well on the people of this town. There is something fascinating about the human condition, that the majority wants to hate themselves, and there's an inbred kind of self-loathing aspect to our psyche that some of us are just all too happy to indulge in. That
to be an issue of religion.
Yeah.
Of our religious beliefs, because we're the sinner.
Yeah.
The whole mea culpa, that I'm at fault for everything that I do.
That's right. Oh my God, the people, my descendants just killed so many people in the name of Christ. Oh my God, the white people have just done so much terrible things, and we can't bear to celebrate Christianity anymore. We have to give more time as reparations to the other people who we've been oppressing. I mean, it's sickening. It really is.
So Halloween is problematic with them as well.
Well, I don't get that at all, because, I mean, for God's sake, that's a Wiccan holiday.
Some of our students come from cultures where kids are frightened by it. Because it's witchcraft, Craig. And Potter lived in biblical times, he would be sentenced to death. Because you can't allow a warlock to live.
Well, actually, that's going in the complete opposite direction of what we've been talking about. This is like, that would be ultra religious conservatism, and
this is what I'm getting, because some of our students come from cultures where kids are frightened by it, and which culture sort of seems to sort of demonize witchcraft, Christianity, and probably like all the Judeo-Christian beliefs, the whole thing is like witchcraft is bad, it's evil, tarot bad, looking at the stars to try to like for horoscopes, that's bad. And some people sort of take that whole topic and sort of blow it out of proportion.
Now, I will say that that's not necessarily always the case, because you can have some very traditionally religious people who just absolutely love Halloween. I mean, that Halloween got popular in the 1950s, got highly commercialized in the 1950s, and that was still an era of church going. And, you know, saying the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of school, you know, things like that. So you can have a religious society that still likes Halloween. I mean, you have to be really fundamentalist to have an issue with the implication of witchcraft. I don't think that's the... And was that the reason why Halloween was banned in the school?
This is from the superintendent himself, that for some students' families, Halloween is problematic. He cited its connection to witchcraft, adding, some of our students come from cultures where kids are frightened by it. Most cultures have like fortune tellers and stuff. Hey, my grandmother was a church-going Catholic, and she read from the cards. So,
yeah. I think that was just an attempt to obfuscate. That was an attempt to deflect attention away from this idiot liberal principal. That she I don't think she gives a shit about the Christians in her school. She just wanted to end all free expression of any holiday whatsoever. I mean, I guarantee you, if you couldn't talk about Christopher Columbus because of the atrocities he committed, there's no way in hell you can talk about Christmas and the messages behind that.
I'm trying to find this school principal. See if there's anything about her, but...
Yeah. I'm sure she's a member of some ridiculous certain organization.
I can't find it.
All right.
Screw it.
Yep. Okay. All right, so I think we're kind of getting towards the end of this. Do you have anything you want to add to the story?
Truthfully, this story ticked the hell out of me.
You know, I want to read a quote from this, actually, from the original story, before we go. Because I don't think we have appropriately captured how annoying this principal is. Take a listen to this. Quote, "When we were young, we might have been able to claim ignorance of the atrocities that Christopher Columbus committed against the indigenous peoples. We can no longer do so. For many of us and our students, celebrating this particular person is an insult and a slight to the people he annihilated. On the same lines, we need to be careful around the Thanksgiving Day time as well." Now, the mayor originally said, quote, "She raises a fair point. History is messy." And the superintendent said, quote, "Her intention was to be very, very sensitive to all the many, many cultures of Somerville." I guarantee you Somerville is at least 80% Christian, and probably a lot more than that. All the many, many cultures, my white ass. I guarantee you that this is just, you know, this is the self-loathing aspect of the majority that seems to pervade human psychological condition. I would love to see some sort of study done on why people who are in a position of influence just have to hate themselves. Some people, liberals. I mean, it's a self-flagellating attitude that I just don't get. So, and there were more quotes like that, but I thought that would just capture the ridiculousness of the situation. Okay, do we have anything else to say?
Nope.
All right, then. So, I've got to take a deep breath here and get myself under control. Okay, so, if you enjoyed this show, or if you want to tell us how to maybe keep this a little bit shorter from now on, please go to email us at feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. Again, feedback@justgettingbypodcast.com. And give us suggestions, give us compliments, give us criticisms, give us ideas about how to improve the show, how to change it, what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy, your opinions about the stories we have spoken about today or in previous days, and what you would want to hear about in the future. We just absolutely love to hear from you, and please keep the comments coming. And go to our website at justgettingbypodcast.com to see links about how to subscribe to us in iTunes and in your RSS podcast client of choice. And you will find links to this show and all previous shows, as well as links to the show notes. All right, Chemslave, on that note, we will talk to the audience again on Friday for a much, much less annoying show.
That's what you think.
Oh, God, please don't do it to me again. Please, I can't handle another day like today. All right, have a good day.
You too.